This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Germany's approval of a controversial Chinese infrastructure investment draws fierce resistance. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Chinese shipping giant COSCO will take a 24.9% stake in Germany's biggest seaport in the northern city of Hamburg. The German government gave the green light this morning, despite strong opposition from some politicians, including Economy Minister Robert Habeck, who argued his country should avoid Chinese investments in critical parts of the economy. Dr. Christian Ruscha from the German Economic Institute in Cologne explains why Germany would want to do a deal like this with China.
China was the most important trade partner of Germany for 6 years in a row now. Most of our imports come from China, and only for our exports, the US is more important, but still China is the number two. Since we lost Russia, our economy is reliant on our exports, and therefore we want to have this trade connections with China, and therefore this is the port.
But there are limits to how far Germany is willing to go in doing business with China in this sense, to allow Chinese companies to sort of have control over critical infrastructure across Germany.
We had some kind of awakening experience in 2016 and 17. There the Chinese took over EEW. This is energy from waste and Krauss Maffei, not a tank producer, but also a manufacturing firm. And the robotics firm KUKA. In 2017, they also got a large share in Daimler-Benz and the Deutsche Bank. And we saw that the increasing influence of China and Chinese firms in Germany, and we took new regulations. We decreased the maximum stake that is allowed to now 10% in the foreign direct investment. So every stake of a Chinese firm of more than 10% must be allowed by the Minister of Commerce. Since 2017 and also the discussion around Huawei, there was this large interest in what China is doing here and what China can be doing here. And therefore, we have large regulations. And therefore, I do not understand why they allowed this 35% stake, and now the 24.9% stake of Costco in Hamburg. This is against what they did before.
How important do you think this port is to its ability to easily do business with the West?
Hamburg is, the third largest port in Europe. And I see that Costco wants to have this share to ease their business. So when they have a port of this terminal, the process of processing their ships can be easier, but it is not necessary to give them this stake. So, for example, we have the port of Duisburg, and there Costco also wanted to have some kind of share in the port, but it was not allowed. And also now we have Chinese firms and China doing business using the port of Duisburg, and we see that it's not necessary to have a stake for a Chinese firm in this harbor, for example.
Dr. Christian Ruscha from the German Economic Institute in Cologne. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Well, it isn't just pressure from politicians at home who are worried about closer ties with China. Chancellor Scholz is also facing criticism from his EU counterparts about his planned meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping scheduled for next week. French President Emmanuel Macron is due to meet with Mr. Scholz today to express his concern about European reliance on China. But that's not the only issue causing frost to form on usually warm relations between two of Europe's biggest economies. The BBC's Katja Adler has more on that.
At the end of last week, President Macron said that Germany had to be careful of not becoming isolated. You don't normally hear that kind of rebuke in public. You've had Germany introducing what Chancellor Scholz called the double kaboom aid package to help households, but also businesses. And France and other EU countries are saying, hey, because it's going to give your businesses an unfair advantage. The French are also annoyed, saying that the Germans have been so against the idea of price capping gas imports into the EU. The Germans have the money to pay the higher prices and are frightened that a price cap will just chase the important gas away. And then Emmanuel Macron for years has been saying Europe needs to become more self-sufficient. But Germany said it was going to boost its own military dramatically, but it's been buying US hardware rather than European-made technology.
That's Katja Adler reporting there. Checking the numbers now, global stock markets are on the rise on hopes the Federal Reserve could soon begin to slow the pace of interest rate rises there. The euro is slightly above parity with the U.S. dollar for the first time in 5 weeks, while the British pound is trading at $1.16. That's the highest level since mid-September on hopes for more economic stability under new Prime Minister Rishi Sunak. To Lebanon now, which has been in the throes of an economic crisis for the last 3 years. Tourism has been heavily affected, with most international visitors deterred by political and economic stability there. But as the BBC's Anna Foster reports, Iraqi vacationers are now flocking to the country.
A new wave of tourists is arriving in Lebanon. Years of instability, a collapsing currency, and the impact of COVID made visitor numbers fall drastically. From one part of the world, though, holidaymaker numbers are on the rise. Iraqis can now get visas easily when they arrive at the airport, and they're cheap. Combined with the good exchange rate, it makes Lebanon attractive even to lower earners. Fatima used to be a French teacher, but now she's a tour guide. Since the financial crisis, wages for public workers have shrunk to almost unsurvivable levels. So now she hires a bus and takes as many as 100 Iraqis around the sights of Lebanon. Jana is one of them. She lives in Baghdad. She tells me that Lebanon's problems with things like power and fuel aren't an issue for travelling Iraqis, because they're so familiar.
We're used to that. Even in Iraq, we don't have electricity. And the people are tired. They need to relax and unwind.
Lebanon's currency has lost 90% of its value in the last few years. The economy here is struggling badly. So the money Iraqi tourists bring and spend in places like shops and cafes is helping to keep businesses afloat. Julian Nahmaz works at Lakis Farm, a bustling restaurant in the Bekaa Valley.
If they weren't here, we would feel the difference because the numbers are very high.
Today, tour guide Fatima has brought her Iraqi group to Baalbek to see its spectacular Roman temples. It's one of the highlights of Dr. Sajjad Al-Khafaj's month-long trip here.
The main reason I chose to come to Lebanon is that it's close to Iraq. The two peoples are close to each other. The common Arabic language and the friendly relation between them both.
And Fatima says this kind of support is vital.
We don't have industry, we don't have trade, we have nothing in Lebanon. That's what attracted me to tourism. It's the best way to save the country.
Tourism alone isn't enough to reverse Lebanon's failing economy. The problems are just too big. But every dollar spent by these new tourists does help people like her to survive the crisis.
That's the BBC's Anna Foster reporting from eastern Lebanon there and in London. I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too.
Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.